This is Tom Hellfire. I'm sitting here in the backstage of Westfalenhalle in Dortmund, and with me is Frank Turner. Frank, you're playing show 2,455 tonight, opening for the Dropkick Murphys. It's almost 2,500 shows. Could you have imagined being at this point when you started doing music back in 1998?
Probably. I think I could have dreamed, but I think imagined, like realistically, would not have been a thing. With an awful lot of my life, I spend my time kind of pinching myself, you know? And I think that's a good feeling. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to become, like, normalized particularly. And one of the ways that I sort of go about trying to plan what I do in the future or choosing what I do is adopting the policy of, like, everything's insane. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's like, that's why we did the Olympics. It's why we started playing arena shows. It's just because it's so ridiculous that anyone would even ask for me to do anything like that. That, why say no? Do you know what I mean? Why not just do everything and see what happens? And that applies to art as well. You know, it's like, you know, I want to make a history record. Okay, let's make a history record. You know, it's just, it's a lovely thing to be that kind of like confused, but also free.
All right, but that makes two decades of touring around the world, 20 years of living on the road. How do you survive that?
We get used to it. I mean, the thing is, you know, there are downsides to touring. There are rough parts. It's ridiculous to complain about them because nobody makes anybody do this. Do you know what I mean? If it's that bad, just go home. I don't have masses of time for bands who complain about touring. There are downsides in terms of sort of missing birthdays and weddings and funerals and everything else. And it can be quite hard to sustain friendships and relationships and that kind of thing. But, I mean, you know, I kind of stopped being friends with the people who couldn't handle being friends with the touring musician a long time ago. And also, you know, it took me a long time to figure out how to sustain a relationship whilst doing this. But I did figure it out in the end. And it involves sending a lot of postcards. But you know, I'm married now, which is a wonderful thing, and I'm still on the road, so it's kind of perfect.
And you're going on tour with your actually wife soon with Jazz Guys. Do you think it's going to be different?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing with that is that when Jess is a folkie, a proper folkie. She grew up going to like real folk shows, like traditional stuff in the forest kind of thing. And she's always played and written. I didn't really realize how much she wanted to try, you know, recording and releasing stuff and making a go of it. Because when we first met, she kind of stopped doing it all because she didn't want to be seen as the person getting together with me because she wanted a music career. Do you know what I mean? And then after a while, I kind of realized, and I've been trying to encourage her into it. We did a bunch of shows together last year that was awesome. You know, she slayed it. The crowd loved it. And we've done the EP. The first track came out today. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to be proud of it, but I'm excited about it. You know, she wrote the song and did the arrangements and everything. But we'll see what an actual full tour with my wife is like. That might be a new thing. But I think it'll be cool.
You started playing music in punk and hardcore bands. How does that influence what you do today?
I think that it influences what I do in many ways. One of them is just that, like, the way that I learned to sing and play guitar was in a really noisy practice room with everybody turned up to a million and trying to hear each other over the top of it. So even when I'm trying to play what I think are really sort of quiet bits, I tend to play guitar pretty hard. And I tend to sing very loud. I have my own touring sound guy now, but in coming up, doing folk shows, I'd start singing and the sound guy would be like, whoa, like, why are you singing that loud? And it's because I learned in punk bands and punk rehearsal rooms. But also, you know, the ethos and the ideology of punks, to the extent that there is one, still influences the way that I think about my decisions. And that's a pretty vague thing to say, because we could, if we had a month free and nothing better to do at the time, we could argue about what punk is and isn't right now. Right. I think that's a boring thing to do personally, but you know, I try and make sure that I stick to what I think punk means, in the way that I conduct my business and in the way that I put on shows and in the bands that I take out and the organizations I try and work with, and the values that I hold and all that kind of thing.
Your first solo EP was called Campfire Punk Rock. Would you say that is a label that occurs to your music?
I think it maybe did once upon a time. I don't know. I don't want to be stuck making the same music I was making in 2006 forever, you know. But I mean, that was just a cool thing somebody said to me after a show, and I was like, yeah, I'll have that. And it definitely did kind of sum up some of the thing that I'm trying to do. I've tell this story a lot, but it's worth repeating. When I was a kid, one of the ways I learned music was my older sister and I, we'd go on family holidays and we'd end up sitting around, you know, the table in the pub or in the campfire on the beach or something like that. And I would learn to play songs that everybody knew how to sing. And the point of that is it's like, I wasn't like, everybody shut up, I'm going to play. It was like, I'm going to play so that we can all do something together. And it's slightly, you know, philosophically different. And I like to think that there's part of that spirit still going through what I do now. You know, I don't want to play to a room full of silent people. I want people to be involved in the show. I want it to be a communal activity.
You're actually running a side project, a hardcore band called Mongol Herde. Can we expect to see it in Europe or in Germany?
Yeah, I hope so. Mongol Herde is the slowest moving band in the whole world. We've been a band for 8 years and we've done like 3 tours. And it's because we're all busy with other stuff and all the rest of it. But we just did an American tour at the end of last year. And I think it's Europe's turn next. So, you know, I think whenever we do it, it's always like 1 week, just because, like, among other things, our drummer has a real job. So, you know, it can't go forever. But I think it would be really, really awesome to come and play a few European shows. And, you know, particularly if people want us to come. It's a lot of fun, that band. It's ridiculous. Like, everybody's drunk all the time and nothing makes any sense, but it's fun.
Let's talk about your latest record. Last summer, you released No Man's Land, a concept album with 12 songs about important women in history that got a little bit forgotten, and one about your mother. What have you enjoyed the most while writing that record?
I think the main thing would be just being able to kind of like engage with history in a nerdy way, in a really public way, because it's a thing I've wanted to do for a long time. That's my other passion outside of music, is history nerding. And, you know, that was the essential kind of inspiration for the project, was to try and find a way of marrying the two things that I love in at the same time. And within that, you know, my favorite thing was learning. You know, I learned loads, and I could, obviously, about all of the specific stories. But I, you know, as speaking as a man, I learned a lot of visceral things about injustice and sexism in history and that kind of thing, which are obvious, you know, but it never hurts to be reminded of them given the position that I speak from. So it was a really fulfilling record to make.
Of all the stories that you wrote about, do you have a favorite story or person?
I mean, it's a funny old thing. Sometimes, I'm going to say this now, it sounds like an asshole. There were times when I have to remind myself these are real people that we're singing about. Like, not at the beginning, but like once you're kind of like running through a set list and or doing your 25th vocal take a month into making the record. You know, so I don't want to talk about anybody flippantly. But I mean, I find the story of Huda Sharawi, the Egyptian women's rights activist, was completely new to me. I'd never heard of it before. And I also just thought that her story was so incredible and really important to think about, particularly now, given everything that's happening with, you know, Islam and the West. She was a devout Muslim. And I think that's really interesting to look at the fact that she created a feminist ideology out of her religion. And I think that's really cool. Plus I like that song a lot. So it's fun to play.
Could you imagine yourself not being Frank Turner the musician, but being Frank Turner the historian?
You know what? I'm going to say this with all the respect I can muster for real historians. I don't think I'm good enough to be an ex. I studied history at university and I did okay and all the rest of it. But like, you know, I've been careful in presenting this record to not claim that I'm like an actual historian. The people who do that properly are amazing and they deserve all of the respect in the world. I'm not sure if I have the patience or the intellect for that. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm 38 years old. Am I going to do this for the rest of my life? I hope so. I mean, I've always hoped so. It's looking increasingly likely, but we'll see.
All right. You seem to be on fire all the time. What are you doing to switch off?
What do I do to switch off? I read. So it's funny, like, it's a presentational thing on some levels, in that, like, I don't get on Instagram and do a day off picture on Instagram, whatever. We had a day off yesterday and I did absolutely nothing and it was awesome. I got up late, I went to a hotel room, I put on Netflix, I drank a bottle of wine, I didn't talk to anybody apart from my wife. It was perfect.
Do you have a favorite book?
A favorite book? I mean, I read all of the time. If I don't read 50 pages a day, I feel like I've wasted my life. Favorite book? Probably Cultural Amnesia by Clive James.
In May, you are hosting your own festival, Lost Evenings 4, and for the first time, it's here in Germany, in Berlin. What are you looking forward to the most?
I think, you know, the cool thing about Lost Evenings is the fourth one, and we've figured out how to do it now. And so it's getting better every year, just in terms of, like, you know, all of the different side activities. The bill of this year, I think, is super strong. We've got Henry Rollins, you know, but also Catfish and Turbo Stud and Katie Tunstall and, like, 20 other bands. And, you know, we're going to have lots of cool discussion groups and everything. And it just really feels like with each passing year, it's getting better and cooler. And it's starting to build kind of like a group of people who come every year now as well, which is really nice. And, you know, we try and do it in cool cities now so that people have somewhere to travel that's cool and interesting. And it's important to me that it's in Germany, in Europe. You know, I think that's really a really cool thing. I always wanted to move it. We did it in America last year, and I'm very happy it's in Europe this year.
In preparation for Lost Evenings, a fan of yours is sharing a useful German phrase on Facebook every day. Do you have a favorite German phrase or word?
I can tell you that you only need to speak one word to speak German fluently. Only one word, or at least to seem like you speak German, which is genau. Right? You can say genau in so many different ways. And I've had like 2 hour long conversations in bars with people who are talking to me in German, and I just wait till they stop talking and I go, genau. Or genau. You know, you just say it in different ways, and like people think I speak German. It's crazy. I have no idea what they're talking about. But yeah, genau work goes an awful long way.
Great. There are rumors saying that a new Frank Turner album or music is up this year. Is there something true to it?
It won't be this year, but it'll probably be at the very start of next year. In fact, that's what I was doing just before you came in. I'm working on new demos right now. It's exciting to me. Like, I think I'm recording some cool shit, you know? It's going to be kind of like a punk rock record. I'm excited about that. The last two records I've done have both been quite weird in my own universe, do you know what I mean? So I thought it would be fun to do something that was just straight ahead, straight down the line. I like the idea of releasing a record that's less than 25 minutes long.
All right, thank you very, very much for the interview. It's been great.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank, mein Herr.